Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody remember the song? How does it go? And the walls came tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Thank you. The book of Joshua, it's in the Old Testament, it is all about God fulfilling the promise that God made. Anybody remember the promise that God makes to Abraham? There's three specific things that God promises Abraham. A what? A people, right? A land? And then that they would be a blessing. So God promised that they would be a blessing. God promised them a land, and God promised Abraham a people. Well, God has done a great job doing the people part, protecting them all the way through Egypt. The people who came out of Egypt were all Abraham's descendants. And now God is using Moses' successor to bring them into the promised land. He's using Joshua. And the battle of Jericho is the first city that God delivers into the Israelites' hands. Now, the story of Joshua and the battle of Jericho is one of those Bible stories that we learned way back in our Sunday school days, right? It has all the elements of a really good Sunday school story. The army marches around and around and around. The trumpets, they blast. The walls crash into ruins. It's exciting stuff, powerful, glorious. But I'm going to be honest with you. I read this story a whole lot this week. And I had nothing. Nothing. And I thought I was going to have to stand up here this morning and tell you all, hey, friends, this Bible story doesn't preach. And so like any person seeking inspiration, I went to YouTube. And I started hearing sermons on this story so I can get a little bit of inspiration. And it seems like this story has become very popular among pastors to use it as a springboard for a message on victorious Christian living. The account of Joshua, it supposedly contains all kinds of spiritual principles which someone can employ in order to break down the walls in their own life. Joshua's battle supposedly is a step-by-step guide for you to enjoy victory over the things that trouble you. But this story isn't about you. It's not even about Joshua. It's about God fulfilling God's promise. It's not a step-by-step to breaking down walls and overcoming. Self-help books will tell you how to do that. This is a story about how God works in the world. My family and I, we love entertainment. We love watching movies. We love going to the movies. Especially when the movie's going to be really good, because then you know that the previews are going to be really good, right? My wife and I, we often joke that if there's a really good set of previews, we often joke, oh, well, let's go home because it's not going to get any better than that. So why do movie makers, why do they want you to watch previews before the actual show that you pay for? They're hoping that the previews are going to get you a little more interested. Well, in Scripture, I think that God gives us previews of the things that are to come. And in Joshua, we find a preview of how God works in the world. And I think it's also a preview of Jesus' counterintuitive work on the cross. See, God's plan of winning, of victory and winning for us a place in the kingdom is not in a way that we would expect. God's plan for victory is foolish. See, there's a version of Christianity that's really infected the United States, and it's antithetical to the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a version of Christianity has created a dualistic mindset. There's those in the club, there are those outside of the club. And this theology teaches that Christians should rule the world because we are God's people. And if we have enough faith, not only will we be healthy, but we will be wealthy and nothing bad will ever happen to us. Anybody hear these preachers on TV? Right? I mean, that sounds so appealing. But to Christ, I think it's really appalling. Because the flip side to that is that if you're poor, or if you're sick, or if you have something bad happen to you, then it's because you deserve it because you've done something wrong. But our faith is not about getting ahead or getting more wealth or being in power. Luther, he actually battled this theology 500 years ago, and he gave it a name. He calls it a theology of glory. And it's a belief about God that if we do enough good, then God will reward us because we deserve it, as if God were some kind of vending machine that we could just pop our good quarters into and we get out what we deserve. Against the theology of glory, we believe in what Luther calls a theology of the cross. Instead, we look to Jesus to tell us who God is. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was the most faithful human ever. And look what that got him. He was mocked and beaten and brought up on charges and killed by the state. According to the theology of glory, Jesus should have been rich and loved by everybody and never had any problems. But though he was faithful, he got the cross. It was, in fact, because he was faithful that he got the cross. See, the way that God works in the world is upside down from the way that the world expects it. It's foolishness to think that in Jericho, God could knock down walls using some marching, some music, and some shouting. It's foolishness to think that we don't have to do anything in order to earn our salvation. See, up until Jesus comes on the scene, religion consisted of appeasing the gods. You sacrificed your belongings. You sacrificed your family. You sacrificed animals so that the gods wouldn't smite you. But Jesus, he comes along and he puts an end to that system of thinking. And that kind of thinking has even seeped into today. We're all I got to do is not lie anymore. All I have to do is stop my potty mouth. All I have to do is give a whole lot to the church. All I have to do is work. Then I'll get what I deserve. But friends, we preach that God comes down for us, sacrifices himself for us, and God doesn't demand anything of us. Instead, God comes down and transforms us into his people. God takes the worst of the worst of which I am a part and makes the new world out of us. And this is foolish talk to anyone who lives with an idea that we have to make God happy. St. Paul, he even writes about this in the first century. He writes, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and a foolishness to the Gentiles." Because God does not work in the way that we expect. Scripture, it tells us that the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. God is unfair. Jesus, he tells this parable about a man who goes out early in the morning and he gets day laborers to help in the vineyard. And then about lunchtime, the man goes out and he gets more day laborers. And then in the late afternoon, he goes out and he gets even more day laborers. And at the end of the day, he pays them all the same amount of money. That's not fair. See, whether or not you grew up in the church since you were young, whether or not you came in your teenage years or your young adult life, or whether you are still coming to God and it happens later in your life, we all receive the same reward. We all receive the same gift. God's foolish gift of grace. I thank God that God's unfair. And friends, like Joshua, we have a promised land that we are coming into as well. Paul writes to the Hebrews, he says, "The world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home that is yet to come." Our promised land will come when Jesus returns. We confess every week that we believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. Paul tells us that we can expect hardships in this life, but our hope, the Christian hope that we have, is that it's not always going to be this way. because Jesus is coming and making a kingdom out of us. Our hope is that one day we too will enter God's promised land through God's unfair gift of grace. Because one day, Jesus will wipe every tear from our eye. One day, there will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. One day, the old order of things will pass away. Our promised land is coming. And until then, trust in Jesus. Amen.